on the next episode of the DDFP, Hank talks about his issues.
David. Football. Football David.
The Dave Damashek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program, and happy Father's Day belatedly to all the fathers out there. We're going to dig in on the psyche of the aforementioned handsome Hank there. Happy Father's Day to him and to the guy seated to Handsome's immediate left here in Studio 66, Willie McGinnis. You know him, star of USC and the Cleveland Browns, soon to have his digital jersey hanging in the wall.
I was about to say it. I mean, what? I walked in, I looked around. I'm just saying.
All right, we're working on it. MVP.
What do you need?
Well, MVP's a little lazy. Lazy. Well, I don't know. What's happening with that?
It's in the works.
It's on MVP.
It's
huh?
in the works. Our graphics right. team is on it.
That's on
what
her.
You do. That's what you
it's
do.
It, it is on me.
Pass the buck.
I'm not going to own that. I'm passing it off.
It's your show. Your name's on it.
Yeah, I know. That's true. And that's why this is embarrassing for me, MVP. You see?
Yeah.
Every action has a reaction, or your lack of action has embarrassed me in front of number 55 and the lefty from the UK there who is probably apathetic about the World Cup. Happy Father's Day to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
How, Willie, did you celebrate?
A relaxing day. My daughters had volleyball scrimmages, and then we had a big barbecue at the facility afterwards, and we took in a movie.
I hear later. What'd you see?
The Incredibles.
Aha! Handsome, what did you do with the weekend?
Also went to see The Incredibles number 2.
Patrick, we all saw Incredibles part 2.
Let's review it. That's what people want.
I do
want
to review
our reviews.
Willie,
movie.
I understand through the grapevine your daughters are really good at volleyball.
They're pretty good. We're a work in progress.
Have you ever played volleyball? But or had you played before they
playing
started?
Around? Somebody told me I played in high school a couple of plays, but I don't even remember. So that tells you how good I was, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, no. That's awesome that that they're picking up where you left off. In
something
the world of,
they got to do something
in the world of sport.
They got to do something.
Wow.
Sports,
I hope my kids don't pick up where I left off in the world of sports and exceed me. In fact, they're already well on their way to doing that. Handsome, go ahead. What give a letter grade to The Incredibles Part 2.
I'm going to give it an A.
An
I thought
a.
it was great.
Really?
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, The Incredibles number 1 is probably my favorite animated movie.
Mine too.
And just a smidge behind The Jungle Book.
I can't give it a grade.
What do you mean?
Because I took my daughters and their friends to see it, and I went into another movie that went on at the same time.
What did you see?
I saw Superfly.
Go ahead and give that a grade.
Because I got other – I gave it an A. I mean, it was like they tried to – you know, it was a rendition of the 1970s, and they brought it. It was modern, some of the same things, just a little tweaks, but I thought it was good.
Did you tell them you
weren't going to?
No,
it was five girls,
right.
My daughters and five girls from the volleyball. So
okay,
they
were fine.
The four teens, they wanted to be, you know. So we bought tickets, we got popcorn, all that stuff, and I bought a ticket as well. And the movie theaters started at the same time, and they ended at the same time. So
that's
it was
a great move. That we can look forward to that. Aren't you too little, handsome, to abandon in a movie?
Well, my smaller daughter, I have to go see Incredibles with her, so that's why I kind of. I don't want to see it twice.
It's just all about you being a good father. That's all.
That's what it's all about.
That's nice. That's nice. Willie, just before we got going, said, "Hey, what are we talking about today? What's on the agenda? What do you think this is? Some fancy network show, Willie? We don't plan anything. plan something."
My other activity yesterday on Father's Day, I went to the beach after the movie was over. And, like, you know how if you go to the beach, you have to carry all that stuff with you, all the kids' stuff, whatever. I got there, and I sit down, and I unpack everything, and then my son wants to play catch with a football with me. Next family down, T.O. and his family.
No way!
On the beach.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was on the beach throwing the
Which
ball.
Which beach?
Throwing the Manhattan Beach.
Oh, Man Beach.
I was on the beach throwing ball around. T.O.'s there, and I'm like, I'm putting my T-shirt back on. T.O. still looks like he could
go
now.
Did he grab the ball?
He didn't grab the ball. He didn't demand the football from me. He didn't pout because I didn't throw it his way, but he did make me put my T-shirt back on.
No.
Because he looks a little bit too.
You know what?
Good.
See,
situation.
This is what happens on the DDFP, Willie. Things just come out of
just
nowhere,
happened.
And then we can address them.
Good story.
I do want to tell you one thing. Make sure you check out. I also spent part of my Father's Day weekend recording a new Daves of Thunder. Make sure you check that out on Apple Podcasts or Podcast One with David Feeney. We went out there for an emergency Father's Day episode. But so dig that one up. And we also, last week, we went out to Rams camp and we kibitzed with Aqib Talib, Johnny Hecker, my favorite punter in the world, and to Brandon Cooks.
Mm.
Interesting thing, Willie. He what do you think his answer is to this question? I said, "Do you cook?" His answer was no. Do you think that's weird? If your last name is Cooks, don't you need to learn how to cook?
You can cook somebody on the football field.
Mm-hmm. That's what his answer should have been.
Yeah.
He said, "I do my." If he would have said, "I do my cooking on the gridiron," I would have said,
"Not in the kitchen."
I would have said, "Yeah. All right, that's a great answer,
gridiron.
Brandon."
Yeah.
But no, he didn't say that.
If you remember one time,
he's a good guy. He's a humble guy.
Well, boy, people sent me after I posted that. I kind of forgot the play where he gets lost on the field. He gets lost. He catches that ball at the Super Bowl. And he turned around one too many times and didn't know where he was.
The guy that he shook earlier, he ran right back into him. He ran right back into him.
The question I wanted to ask him, and now I'll ask it to you two, is, and Handsome, frankly, your opinion means a little less in this one. But
that's fine. Let's
still,
go with it anyway.
I was told just before I asked it, don't ask him too much about the Patriots. He doesn't want to relive that stuff. So I avoided it.
Yeah, yeah.
But my question was, if Malcolm Butler had been on the field, do you have a ring on your finger from the 2017 season? Do you think he would have do you think he would?
No.
You don't think they win that game even if Malcolm Butler plays? See, now Willie McGinnis, his opinion means a whisker more here.
No.
No, they still lose that game.
I don't think he was prepared. I don't think he was ready to play. That's the reason why he didn't
play. Yeah, there was a reason he wasn't there. But even
that's the reason why he didn't play.
And I'm not
going to take away. Well, one guy can make a difference because they were attacking that spot.
Guy.
They were attacking that spot all game long in the slot.
All he'd have to do is make one play over the course of the game.
Well, what I'm going to say is I don't want to take away from what the Eagles did. Like their entire game, defensively what they did. They just didn't throw the ball. They also ran the ball effectively. I think Blunt had a couple of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to take away because of one player, but I would say he probably would have changed things if he was prepared and ready to play. He probably would have changed things. And it would have. But I still think that just the story and everything that went on with the Eagles and how they played the game, they were going to win that game.
Hmm. Well, that's noble of you. Any further insights on what happened there, all the fallout? I want to ask you the next thing is about Tom Brady and his interesting offseason as well.
Which part?
Well, about the Malcolm Butler thing. I want to hear about Malcolm Butler. Since that Super Bowl, we've kibitzed, I think, once.
Right.
Any further
update
on that?
I just think, you know, you missed the plane. You got to practice a certain way in Bill's system so he knows you're prepared to play. And didn't have a good week of practice.
Hmm.
Well, a few days because he wasn't there the entire week. Didn't have a good week of practice.
But when you said – sorry, Willie. When you say he missed the plane, it was because he was sick, right?
I guess. That's what they said. He was sick. So I'm only going
you
off
guess of what that's what he said.
Okay. I wasn't there. So yeah. They said he was sick. He missed the plane. Then when he came in and did practice, it wasn't the best practices.
Maybe right. He was seeing Superfly.
Right. No, I wasn't there. It was in production.
It wasn't out yet.
You know?
You're right.
And
that doesn't hold
didn't
up.
Practice well.
Yep.
And then before the game, you know, Bill gets a feel for guys.
Uh-huh.
And just felt like he wasn't ready to go out and perform at a high level. So he went with somebody who had been there all week ready to go. And, you know, as a coach, there are tough decisions you have to make. And unfortunately, you know, it was that decision for Malcolm. Mm-hmm. But he landed on his feet pretty good.
Yeah, he did. But one more thing about it. Does Tom Brady – I don't expect you to know to get inside 40-year-old Tom Brady's head and know what he's thinking. But do you suspect that Tom Brady blames Bill Belichick for that Super Bowl loss because he didn't have Butler out there?
No, I think Tom concentrates and focuses on what his assignment and what he has to do. And, you know, Matt Patricia and Bill and everybody on the defensive side, Brian Flowers, who is now, in theory, the defensive coordinator, those guys focus on the defense. And I think when you're playing in a game like that, you can't, especially at the quarterback position, you can't be sitting over there looking at who's in the rotation or what's going on, because his play will probably determine, like it has for so many years, if the team is actually going to win, you know, or have a chance to win. So he's got to be honed in on the offensive side of it.
All right, so let's turn the page here as we transition from that Super Bowl loss into 2018. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Tom Brady, the way he's comporting himself? He misses, you know, to me, I don't care about the mini camp thing at all. Is it how?
It was that mini camp. It was OTAs he was.
I mean the OTA, yeah. Okay. But he missed the first day.
Of what, OTAs?
Yeah.
He missed more than the first day.
All right. Well, so is that an issue or no?
Not at all.
I don't want my stars doing any of that stuff.
Well, no. And it's different now. You're not hitting. You don't have on pads. You could barely run in those things because of the CBA. And it's monitored. It's filmed. You see teams get hit with the fines when they try to go above and beyond. And I think he's at a place where he understands what I'm pretty sure he knows what to do.
What to do, right?
To get himself ready, especially for OTA. And being there for the younger guys, it's a thrill to see Tom Brady there and all those guys. But, you know, he's on vacation. He's doing things with his family. But one thing about him, he's never not training. I don't care where he is. He's going on vacation. The workout crew is going. Like, he's going to get a workout in.
So if I'm gleaning correctly what you're saying, yeah, I mean it's neat. And by the way, I love that the human element that if you're a 21-year-old guy who's undrafted or whatever, like, there he is. It's Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Well, I always say that to other guys.
Gronk walks in the building. It's Gronk.
Well, I always say of that course. About – I always say that to other guys in the league. And I say, you never have a moment on game day where you look across the side like,
you did
oh
as
God,
a rookie.
Bill Belichick. Yeah. There's Brady. Oh, no, we have no chance in this game.
When you're young, when you come in and you see those guys that's been, you know, making great plays forever and winning Super Bowls and coaches that are going in the Hall of Fame, I mean, you know, regardless of the players across the league, Antonio Brown, just think of a young DB get the lineup against Antonio Brown. He's been watching him for so many years. It's his dream.
Who was the one for you? Who was the?
There was a lot of guys. I mean, Lawrence Taylor was coming out. Uh-huh. Andre Tippett was on my team coming, you know, coming out. I played against Drew Bledsoe. He was at Washington State. I mean, I played against Aikman. I played against Kelly. I played against Marino. I played against Montana.
Was Marino your first sack?
I don't know. I think it was somebody with the Saints. I think it was who was the quarterback at the time?
Bobby Hebert?
No, not that far.
Back. Jim Everett?
Everett.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Everett was your first ever sack?
I think so.
How about
in
that?
In the preseason, I think so.
That's awesome. So what else, Handsome? That was a good question. If you want to ask Willie something else.
No, that you were on it. You were going. I just thought I'd throw that one in there.
Do you want me to take a sharp right turn here? And I'm ready to.
No,
make
I want
a big
to talk more about Tom Brady because you have a question that you wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is Tom going on Oprah?
Yeah. Really.
I think he's big enough to go on Oprah.
Of course.
And Tom did Tom versus Time, one thing on Facebook that nobody's ever seen him inside his life and what he does. The trend you guys see.
I watched it. It was great.
It was great, right?
Did they publish that last – I'm not kidding because I watched them all on the road like during Super Bowl.
Right.
And then they kind of held off on the last one because
they wanted to
didn't
be like
turn out like it was
right.
supposed to.
Right, but
did they ever publish that Super Bowl?
I would have to go back and check.
I don't think they did.
But if you've ever wanted to look inside and understand, you may not like the guy, but you damn sure respect him.
Oh no, even more.
Like it's crazy. So I think he's understanding the position he's in now. I think he's enjoying things a little bit more than he has in the past. And if you get an opportunity to sit down with Oprah, I think most people would take that opportunity and not say no. And he was candid. You know, he was honest. And I would have went on Oprah if she invited me.
I'll make some calls. I can't promise you anything.
I know I'm done and all, but, you know, I would if I got the invite, heck yeah. It's a different audience. You know, it takes them to it puts him in a different lane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, imagine Willie McGinnis walking out onto the stage. They'd love
They'd be like, okay, what is he here for?
Willie.
What did he do?
We don't see enough in the offseason, and it's one of our greatest pleasures when you visit Studio 66. Here's a random question for you as we, you know, the college kids I think will be in camp before the pros are even. What do you think of USC right now? I always think to me, I know you don't want to denigrate anybody, but to me, if there are certain teams, remember when, what was his name? Dave Campo. No offense to Dave Campo, but remember when he was the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? The head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? That's who he got?
You didn't believe it?
It was just weird. Like,
it was weird.
You're
right.
There are certain franchises in sports that should have – I mean, they just have to be somebody. Like, you know.
You didn't believe Tom Sula when he was the head coach of the 49ers?
That's a good example, yes.
Well, I'm saying.
It's weird when certain guys are coaches of teams. I feel like, is Clay Helton, is he big enough to carry that gig? I would love to see you. I'd love to see Willie McGinnis
There's a lot of different opinions about Clay. What I will say is he loves the university. He's very passionate about the young men that come. And I know the goal is not just to, you know, have a winning season, but it's to be in the playoffs and compete for national championships. And that is the message. And, you know, that's our head coach right now. I don't ever disrespect. I don't go against the grain. I'm not one of those guys making those decisions. He welcomes all the alumni back, all the guys that played there. He wants you around. He wants your opinion. He will reach out if he has questions about certain things and how you feel about it. You know, I respect him a lot. He reached out to me about my jersey, about giving it out. Junior Seau's jersey.
That's a great move.
That was passed.
That 55 down. Is one of those iconic college football numbers to wear,
and,
that,
you know,
cardinal and gold.
So there's a lot
deal.
Of things that go on outside of just winning football games. You know, you're always family at SC. It's not.
I love to hear that, because I think it's a mistake on you're cutting your nose to spite your face if you try and turn the page from that. You need to embrace the past, especially if it's right. USC. But you know, to me, I just feel like I've said this to you before too. I'm not just trying to curry favor with you. It doesn't have to be you, but given your background, Long Beach legend goes on. You know, you come up in your teen years. Imagine you. In this region, recruiting, who would say no to Willie McGinnis? If you're like, I want you to be a Trojan. What do you think about that? Who's going to, nope. Nope, I want to go up to Wazoo. I want to go live up in Pullman instead. Sorry, Willie.
You know, I do a lot of one-on-one training and coaching and things of that sort. And I think the situation was kind of there years back. And I don't know if I visited. I don't know what happened. It would be interesting if I was offered a position.
Think about that. Because
and I don't know about head coach, but, you know, linebacker, somewhere on the defensive side of the ball. I'm very passionate about it, and I think you do need guys that played there to understand the tradition and the history, that believes that cardinal and gold, and understand what these players, you know, what these players, where they're at. It's not – it's a little bigger than football. Because people.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
in the 21st century
at SC,
now,
it's
even
different.
More.
Yeah, it's different.
To
so,
be able to talk to an 18-year-old and tell them what's in store for them.
Right.
Yeah,
that.
And the kids are different now. You know, so a lot of things you could bring out to history and talk about it. But you got to be in tune with the high school kids now, mm-hmm. and the youth, to understand how they think, how they communicate, how to deliver information to get them to digest it better. You know, it's not the same as before. So
think about this. This is one of my greatest ideas, Handsome. What do you think about this? Willie McGinnis makes sense. He is from the region. He came up around these parts. He can talk to them about the experience of being a SoCal football player a few years removed. You have teenagers, so you can relate to teenagers. You learn from Belichick and Crennel and all the rest of the fellas up there. This story is airtight.
You don't want me around here anymore?
This is Dave's way of getting you off campus. He's always been jealous of you.
You don't want me here anymore? You don't want the Pittsburgh, the Patriot rivalry to go away?
I mean, I want everyone associated with the 21st century Patriots to scram already. I've had it already.
Just say you want me out of here, man.
Get out of here. Well, you're all right. It's showing off at some point. Enough, Brady. Beat it. Do you think the 2018 Patriots are better than the 2017 Patriots, or vice versa?
Wow, you're talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl, and I know they.
Yeah, but that
wasn't great all the way around.
This wasn't a vintage. I know that's.
I mean, what's vintage? I don't want to be vintage if I don't get to the Super Bowl.
Well, they're victims of their own success.
They
you
won
knew
it. They
based
won it.
On the other teams.
They won a Super Bowl, right? You know, not this year, a year ago.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Here come the Steelers. Here come the Dolphins.
Of course. Everybody's getting better. And that's – you know what? I think everybody got caught up in the offseason of the Patriots, of all the acquisitions and all the players that came over, Dwayne Allen and Cooks and all these different guys. And they're like, oh, there's no way they're losing the Super Bowl. You know, the expectations were high. And they did. They got to the Super Bowl. Wasn't pretty. But we'll have to see.
No, you know? Don't we'll have to see.
Well, I got to look. I'm still going through the roster. You know, I still want to see some of the moves. I know some of the guys they brought over and what they're doing, but there was a lot of turnover the offseason.
I know. And by the way, yeah, the best you lose your best offensive line.
Yeah.
And by the way, the other thing is
Malcolm Butler, one of your best defensive players you keep throwing up.
I don't keep throwing any. I mean, that was a story, Willie.
No,
I'm going to bring it up. That was a big deal. Yeah. Your best or second at worst, your hero from 2 years prior doesn't play. Of course, that's a story.
Things happen.
All right. You know what else happened? Jimmy Garoppolo got traded.
He did.
All we're talking about is Ben Roethlisberger doesn't want to coach. He doesn't want to take on Mason Rudolph. Who did more damage to his team? Ben Roethlisberger by saying, I don't know if I want this kid behind me. And, of course, he's a competitive –
No big deal, right?
I just said a lot of superstar QBs do not want to be reminded
of
their own mortality.
He had five guys drafted before. Since he's been there, he's had five quarterbacks drafted.
Because you know as well as he
five.
Does. This is the – because Josh Dobbs –
why is it a problem now?
Because Josh Dobbs in the fifth round is not a threat to him.
Who else?
Landry Jones in whatever round he
– I know, but I'm just saying.
He's a second-round guy.
There was never a comment before. Never, ever a comment before.
Why? Because just like Tom Brady, as you can start to see the finish line of your own career, you don't need to be reminded. Like, why is this handsome devil Garoppolo sitting back
well,
there?
The only reason why the finish line is reminded is because every offseason – Ben says
maybe
I don't know.
Retire.
Yeah, maybe I should spend more time.
Actually,
with my
family.
What?
I'm going to do it. I'm going to come back again.
And you know, I need some time to think this out. I don't want to rush into a decision. I'm going to walk away from football for a while. But this offseason, oh no, I think I'm going to go in and I'm going to go
five more years. Why
no, not?
Not
three. Let's take it up to five more years. I'm feeling so energized by this team and what we're going to do, and I'm just so excited.
Wait, why you drafted someone?
See, this is what everybody loves to do, the 4-7.
It's the truth.
I agree, but I said they should take a QB.
Nobody was talking retirement until he brings it up.
If they would have drafted Lamar Jackson, I would have said terrific. That would have been great with me.
Why? Because he's not ready to play or something.
No.
He's going to play this year.
Can I tell you something? What do you think about that?
That's
something I said that. Oh, and by the way, Handsome Hank, Matt Money Smith, and I have a little wager with our fingers. We're not doing money. We're doing our own
push-ups.
Fingers.
No.
Nope.
I contend. Ooh. I said during the end of the season, by the end of last season, I said, by the start of 2018, there will be 10 new starting quarterbacks in the league. And now we're right there around 8, pretty much guaranteed.
We're not going to get to 10.
Lamar Jackson might
He's not going to start day one.
Do you
he
think Lamar
play,
Jackson has a
start.
Chance of winning the gig?
I think he will play. It just depends on his performance.
I think they could.
People said that about Deshaun Watson. Oh, he's not going to start right away. We're going to take our time.
He didn't.
Yeah, but when he did, it's like
that was MVP. Off time.
He could have been the MVP.
Yep.
If you're the Ravens, what's the old cliche about what defines insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. All right, yes, you can point to the glorious run he had 6 years ago, Joe Flacco, for that month. But outside of that, it obscures the other 9 years and 11 months. He's not a consistent winner in the NFL.
Yep.
If you're the Ravens, to what end? You know the Steelers are a stronger team as constituted for 2018. Shake it up. Go Jackson and see if you can pawn. Here's the issue with Flacco, though. I trade him to Jacksonville, except are we even sure that Joe Flacco's better than Blake Bortles at this point?
You got to let him go first. Yeah. You got to see what you have in the young kid. And I think there'll be some packages. I'm almost sure there'll be some packages where you'll see both of these guys on the field at the same time. There'll be packages where you'll see Jackson on the field, some type of read option, because he can't throw it from the pocket. He's just not a runner. So let's let everybody understand that. He's just not a runner, but he's a dangerous runner. So you definitely have to game plan and change your defense. You have to change the way you rush him.
Yep.
Because if you open up a running lane, he's gone. He's gone for 60. He's out of there. Not many guys are going to catch him. So knowing that from a defensive perspective that you have that guy, you have to take time out of practice to prepare for it. And they're going to use him. Mm-hmm. They would be silly not to.
Mm-hmm. You know what I also am happy about is that Kyle Shanahan supports me. And Kyle Shanahan knows a thing or two about X's and O's, like Damashek. I said forever ago, the read option, the spread, whatever you want to call it, the spread option, that is not the only – the problem with it.
They had a lot of success his RG3's rookie year with that.
Right. Well, and Russell Wilson in limited rookie exposure
year.
With that.
Offensive rookie of the year.
What I've always said about that and remains true, I was prescient about that. I said that offense continues to be unstoppable. The only thing you have to worry about is how much appetite do you have to put your QB – are you going to continue to expose him to the lick?
Well, now it's the RPO. It's the same thing, right? But now it's the RPO. Everybody's this brand new thing.
But like it came out of nowhere.
Right. So now you got a run pass option, and if you got a mobile quarterback, he could hit the back door out of you, or he could be part of the run game. Cam Newton's been doing it.
Right. And because he's a different – His physique is different. That's why
he's had surgeries. He's coming off his shoulder.
Right.
He's had a few surgeries now. Like he's been banged up. Andrew Luck can do it. He's banged up. Surgeries, right? You look at Wentz. He can do it coming off these surgeries.
I don't know, though. I don't know if they're going to run him around.
That's my point. So now you got to understand how much can you do it. There's not a lot of guys like Russell Wilson. A lot of times he runs because he has to. He has a terrible offense. He's had in the past a terrible offensive line. He's never had a chance to really set his feet. When he does, the ball is going down. It's a beautiful throw down the field. Mm-hmm. He runs for his life, but he makes good decisions. He runs out of bounds. He gets down and slide. He throws the ball away. He doesn't take many hits. So he survived for the most part. But some of these other guys, they fight for yardage. They're fighting it out, and it turns into injuries. Mm-hmm. And it's not good. So when you got a guy that's smaller than all the guys we name, even RG3 and Lamar Jackson, you got to be smart and how you use them, because you don't want them to get injured.
Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, the thing that distinguishes them from everybody else who likes to run around with the ball from the quarterback spot is that they have an instinct of when to get down. We've talked about this a lot. It is a weird thing that the highest of high-end athletes on the face of the earth lack that spatial sense, some of them. Mike Vick, for all of his physical attributes, never could gauge, like, oh, that I better get down because that guy's going to hit me. No, I got one more step before I have to get down.
Listen, in college, Lamar Jackson rushed for more yards than Saquon Barkley.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
Yep.
I didn't know.
Right. So these guys, in their minds, they've been so dominant at what they've been doing for so long.
Hard to say no.
It's hard to say no. Why would they change? Mm-hmm. And then they come to the upper echelon, this new level, and you got linemen almost running your speed. And it's a little different when you get hit and all that weight and you got guys running you down. See, it's different. So in their mind, since they were in grade school, they've been doing this. They've been dominating with their feet, you know, and they've been able to outrun and outmaneuver people. Then you get in the league and, hey, you can't do that anymore.
So you would advise even the Ravens don't run around Lamar Jackson?
No, I would think when, you know, you do it on a limited basis, you put in packages for that, but you do want to develop him from the pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a guy that can run around a lot, but he can't throw it from the pocket, at the end of the day, you got to be able to sit in the pocket and throw it from the pocket.
Why is that a thing? You know, that's always been true. I got to be able to turn this guy into a pocket passer.
I'm not saying a pocket passer. There you go.
Right.
What's that?
Like they did with Colin Kaepernick. Remember when he first came in the league? I think it was against the Jets. The Niners played him. They announced that he was starting kind of late in a week. I think it was a Monday night game, and Kaepernick came in and ran all over them and threw it all over them. And then you saw as he went along, they were like, let's try and keep him in the pocket. Because for exactly the reason you're saying.
At some point,
I'm not saying you don't throw it. I'm saying, but why? To me, Rodgers, Wilson, Roethlisberger, these
just
are guys.
Just name two of the best guys that just throw the ball on the run.
I know. That's
that
what I'm saying.
That are accurate.
I'm not saying that, you know, Phil Rivers should try and do that with his career. Or Mason Rudolph, for that matter.
They're not runners like Ben. When he came in, he was one of the toughest guys.
That's right. People forget that. But my point is right. It's that play action, that boot action, and roll the guy. Like, why would you not make that the
– How did Elway –
That's the base, but why is it always? So we got to turn him in. He's got to be a pocket passer. Why?
Could Elway throw from the pocket? Heck yeah.
Yeah, but where now, you become – where the difference yeah. comes is when you when, threat, you get them on the move.
See, I think it's the threat when you can do both that teams have to prepare for so much more. Versus if I know I got a pocket passer, a guy that cannot run, my rushes, we're going to blow up the middle of the pocket. I'm going to take that inside move, and I'm not worried if he gets out of the pocket. We're told to flush him out of the pocket so we can run him down. Because when you get guys off the spot, like a Peyton Manning or guys like that, when you get them off the middle, out of that spot and out of the pocket, the numbers go down. Their completion percentages go down. Like, they're not as good. When you get Aaron Rodgers, he's going to hurt you either way. Big Ben, Russell Wilson, those guys will hurt you either way. Even Drew Brees, he's a good – he's not, you know, he's not going to run as much, but the way he moves
he
in the
Brady
pocket –
he and Brady are good at that.
They move within that box.
There. Right.
Right? Like if you don't have that, at some point you're going to run yourself into an injury.
It is interesting to watch both Brady and Breeze. They do have that. They anticipate it.
Breeze is probably the best.
They feel you can if you go back and watch it, you see the space that they jump into. They see where the pass rush
you know
is going
why Breeze
to be
is
in a
the
second
best?
Or two. What?
Because he's the short. He's short.
Ah.
And if you watch him, his head is always up.
Well, when his he's going to throw that deep ball, he always tilts his head back.
It's always. Yeah. His head and eyes are always up. And he's steady moving. Like, he can see it, but he doesn't panic in the pocket. Most smaller quarterbacks, they're more comfortable when they get out.
They want to get outside.
They want to get outside because they can't see. But he has this unique ability to keep his head tilted and keep his eyes down the field, and he's accurate.
Mm-hmm. MVP, is this going well for you?
Yeah, this is really good.
You like this show so far?
Yeah.
Good. I always like to try to check in because sometimes I think we're doing well, and she's like, no, this is boring.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like this is a little dry. No,
she'll
no.
be like, actually, Dave, terrific. I stopped recording this.
Do you ever ask for any input of like a topic that she might want to talk about?
No. That would only encourage more free thought.
Of course not, Willie.
Oh, wow.
That we don't need.
We're making this show great again, huh?
This isn't called the group
we're making,
thing.
We're making this show great again, huh?
Of course. MVP's our head writer. Of course she weighs in. So you're happy with this so far, MVP?
Yep. No job. It's good stuff.
Okay, here we go. Here's a pop quiz for you. I don't know if you have any game show music, but here we go. Quick pop quiz. Do you think we ask this around various holidays on the calendar?
Oh, wow. She is good. Where'd it
Father's
go?
Day. Don't answer, handsome. Father's Day. Is it an American holiday, or is it also celebrated in the UK? Of course, Christmas is celebrated in England. July 4th, obviously, is not celebrated there. In fact, handsome.
Mourned.
Handsome.
The song is God Bless America, right?
Do you know handsome actually works on July 4th out of spite?
Does he?
He does. He does it as I like it. I think there's a nobility to it. I like that.
It's
always like a chip when we get the Canadians or people from UK that come over. They just can't embrace it all the way. It's like
it's called independence. I'm calling it dependence.
I heard somebody from the UK talk about the food, how better the food is.
Oh, no, that's now you made a mistake, Willie, because handsome wants to argue without that one.
Well, no, the food is better there.
It's better in England. It's like you've never been there when you grew up. It's not better there. How's it better there? We are the masters. The U.S. at worst.
Of course,
has
the masters. Carry on.
There we go.
Carry on. The masters.
By the way, we are going to need the U.K.
Is it golf
the rest
time?
of Europe to invade at some point soon.
Soon.
But anyway, that we're at worst the second best makers of every kind of food. Italy has the best Italian food, but America's got the second best.
No, you guys, you're right. There are some foods you got down. There are some that you haven't.
Burgers? Can you get a burger in the UK?
Carry on, Dave. Hurry up. What have you got? What are you trying to say?
That's a legitimate question.
Of course you can get a good burger in the UK.
You can get a good burger in the UK. All right, I wouldn't
have guessed that. Burgers are not difficult
to make. What's the best cuisine in the UK that people that just – kills the U.S. in
pub food.
No, not
haggis.
I would say where the British Empire went into India. You can get fantastic Indian food made by real Indians in London, and you can't get great Indian food here.
Oh, okay.
That's not something you find in the U.S.
I like good Indian food. All right, that's fine.
I doubt you've ever had it.
Wow.
Well, if you've been relying on it
in
here.
In this sleepy little borough we live in called Los Angeles, there are people from different parts of the globe that provide us with various kind of food. All right, Willie.
All right.
Father's Day in the UK or no? How say you?
I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to go with no. Emma VP.
Yes.
Handsome. Drum roll, please.
Wow, she really had one back there as well. Father's Day is in the U.S.
Yes. You took
now,
it from
us. Yes.
Independence,
here's
indeed.
Here's an interesting thing.
Yes.
Mother's Day, also in the U.K., but on a different day.
Huh.
So I will sometimes send my mom a Mother's Day card, and she's like, why have you sent me this? And then I have to make it, you know, every day is Mother's Day, mother. but it's on a different date. But Father's Day is on the same day.
Wow.
What else did I have to ask Willie about? Our time is so limited. Do you have to go, Willie? When you have to go, you go.
What time is it, Emma?
Emma VP, is it time for him to scram?
He can stick around for a bit.
We got a couple of minutes.
Oh, really? Okay. Handsome, anything you want to ask Willie about? I had some thoughts. Here's what I was going to do. In honor of this auspicious occasion when we have Handsome and Willie with us, I thought we would start what's become a little bit of a summer tradition here.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy, Willie. If you watch the free agency period, ooh, that team's going to be better. They just signed blank. Ooh, well, that makes them better. Ooh, and then the draft, they got that guy, that college star. Ooh, how can they fail? The problem is that if you do that in a vacuum, you can do that with all
every
32
team.
Teams.
That's the beauty of being an NFL fan, right? Every year it looks a bit better.
There's no
every
team,
team's going to win a Super Bowl.
There's no team that you can look at and not think like, well, this – and then Hard Knocks only exaggerates it further for that team. Yeah, you never watch Hard Knocks and
they
come away
– they usually do pretty good Hard Knocks, the teams.
That's true. I guess that's a new trend.
Well, the Bucks last year were yuck. Like, you watch that show, that's going to be good. But actually, the Bucks were not good.
The Chiefs couldn't have been good the year that it was the Brody Coyle versus – I don't even remember who he was battling for the gig, but that was pretty bad.
Yep.
Was it Todd McNair? No.
No.
Anyway, that was a bad one. And Herm Edwards.
The Dolphins were not particularly good when they
were – That's not what I want
they
for
make
you,
the playoffs,
Willie.
Though?
I don't want you doing like Willie. When you're the coach at USC, see, you have a level head. You really do. I you know how I go up and down over the course of a season with my team. You're kind
of
like level
of
headed.
Day.
You're like, you got to say, well, we'll see how it goes. You're cool and calm. And I've in fact watched you with professional football players, and you command a different level of respect. Like when you start talking. All the other guys are like, well, Willie knows what he's talking about. You listen to what Willie says.
I appreciate that.
Well, but that's true. I mean, you've surely sensed that there's a different reaction to you. Even, you know, in NFL media, when we sit in the green room, the fellas sit around there, we laugh, we chop it up, and then Willie starts talking, and then it's like, well, if Willie says it, then that's the law.
I don't know if that's
true. Right? That is kind
of – I don't know.
You don't buy that? Yeah, that's true. I'm not.
I think
just,
there's a mutual respect of
I'm not brown-nosing with you. I think that's true.
Guys that's been in certain situations, when they speak about it, you can respect it.
That's right. You know, the recurring story is that Willie McGinnis would say, you know, like, get their guys get hot on the field, like, I'm gonna kill, you know, I'm gonna hurt you badly or whatever, I'm gonna do this or that to you as soon as the game's over with. And then Willie McGinnis stepped in and said, like, well, if you're gonna do that though, you just should know, like, I have to take care of my teammate, and that means that I have to get in the way too. And they're like, okay, the situation's over with. It was really like something out of a movie. Oh, well, Willie's involved now, but I got no beef with you, Willie.
Because I try to dismantle the situation.
Yeah.
Take
the temperature down a couple notches.
Yeah, and I tell him, like, this is my teammate, and it shouldn't go this far, but whatever he did, he's going to come over like a man, and he's going to address it and apologize and do whatever. So if we can walk away and everything's okay, but, you know, at the end of the day, I got to have his back. So – if this gets out of hand, then everybody's going to be involved, including me. I don't want it to go this
it's
way.
Fun. Right.
In the huddle, did you? What kind of conversation? Were you all business, or did you ever get into anything?
No, we had fun, man.
You did in the huddles.
We had fun. We talked trash. We challenged each other. Off on each other.
You would talk trash to someone on your own team.
Yeah. Well. Other people too, but guys on our own team, like if something didn't happen or they didn't get a call, we would jibber jabber back at each other, like listen up, just because everybody held each other accountable. Nobody was thin-skinned in the huddle with us, and if you was, too bad. Mm-hmm. Because we, you know, even when I messed up, guys would get in my ear and get to talking. Like Rodney Harrison was the biggest habitual hit you in the back type of guy there was. Like you'd be on a tackle and he come flying, pow, in the back. And I used to get so mad. I'd be like, Rodney, You are hitting me. You are not hitting the guy. Keep your head up and look at what you're hitting. You, he, shut up. I'm trying to make a play. And he just start going off. And I just be like, bye, Rodney. I'm not going to argue with you, bro. But I got bruises on the back of my back from Rodney after games because he's coming in like a torpedo. Just right. He just wants to hit something. He's not even in the play. Play's almost over. And it's usually us.
Did people ever talk stuff to you from the other team?
Yeah, really? All the time.
All the time. I'm surprised by that.
Well,
you're bigger. I mean, even in a world of big guys, I would say earlier
in my career, like first couple of years. And
like what, cut your hair?
No, nah, they would talk trash. You know, the linemen would do stuff in the piles.
You were one of those long hair.
That was later. That was 2000.
Oh, it was? When you went long hair mid-career? Yeah. Oh, I forgot that. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. It's first Super Bowl, 2001.
I heard that, yeah, I've heard from pro football players that things go on at the bottom of those piles.
Yeah, and it's like unnecessary. And that's what drives me crazy. Or back in the day before they had all the rules in place, guys would come – you know, they'll cut you from behind. You know, they take out, try to go out to your knee. That stuff set me off. And I would hunt you down after that. Like, it was a problem.
That's the thing that seems like was something from a movie. Like, if there's an actual pro football game being played that guys are like, by the end of this game, I'm going to get you. How do you have time to focus on getting a guy?
Interceptions? Like with
that's
interceptions
moment,
or turnovers?
To go looking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
then, yeah. Like yeah. You're looking.
Where did that guy go?
Going after him. There he is. Full speed. Here I come.
Did anybody ever apologize in advance of that and say, like, please don't do what you're thinking of doing to me, Willie?
No. We would like, some guys were kind of cool about it, but there are a lot of, like, the play is a lot cleaner than what it used to be. They've cleaned the game up.
Even in your day. Yeah. It was clean. I mean, that was...
No, it's cleaner now.
Cleaner now, I mean. Yeah, right.
Yeah, when I came in, it was the Wild Wild West. Anything goes.
Who was the dirtiest?
It was the lineman. Stussy was one of the dirtiest guys. He was the lineman. There's a couple other linemen. There's a lineman from San Diego we used to always get into it with.
There's a guy who wore number 37 for the Patriots.
Well, I mean, he was on my side, so I didn't... dirty as
unless
you
he
want.
Was hitting you.
Yeah, dirty as you want. Denver, we thought they were dirty just because of... how they went after your knees.
That's uh-huh. right. That's yeah. so
it,
right.
It was part of their system. But I mean, even on reverses, and you'd be going their peel back, they were going low. Like a blind side peel back, you're going low at the knee. To me, that was just dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and but that was part of their blocking system.
Oh, I love the stories about what happens in the huddle and who talks stuff.
Man, it was, you know, there's a lot of things. There's always games within the game going on.
All right. I want to tell you guys something. Amidst all this optimism that happens each and every year for all 32 teams, oh, our team may win the Super Bowl. And then the Eagles and stories like that make it seem, well, if they could do it, we could do it.
You act like it was a Cinderella story. The Eagles did have the number one seed throughout the entire playoffs.
Nick Foles was the QB.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it matters.
You're not talking about the playoffs, though. You're talking about the whole season. Because that season, they weren't necessarily
their
like
season,
a...
they were good.
Yeah,
no, but I'm saying they were at the beginning, this
season.
Time
Emma,
last
what
year.
What was their season? Like, what was their record?
14-2.
They were 13-3, 14-2.
But I'm saying, like, if we were sitting
in this
room. It
wasn't losing a lot of games,
well,
guys.
By the way, Willie, I picked them to win
And early in the season, don't forget, Carson Wentz, everybody was saying he was going to be the
MVP.
The MVP.
Sure.
So
no,
they were
no,
playing great
I'm saying
great
if we were
early.
Sitting here in June last year, there weren't many people saying the Eagles are going to win
Wait
the
just
Bowl.
A minute. I'm not
no,
going to sit by.
Because right. in that division, a lot of people right. thought the Giants
or the Cowboys had been good
be
the
better.
Year before.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not going to sit here and take
oh,
a
Oh, it's all right, Dave. Okay.
I said the Eagles
Blow your trumpet,
in August.
Quick.
That's right.
You
I said.
Did.
That's right, I did.
You said the Eagles.
You
yes.
did say the Eagles would win the division. That's true. But
really?
That, but like
wow.
you, but did you say you weren't like they're so good they're going to win the division? They could even win the Super Bowl.
I did not think that no. they could win
you
the
thought
Super
they
Bowl.
Might come
I didn't
out
think they could win.
Six.
I did not think they would win two playoff games and the Super Bowl against the Patriots with right. Nick Foles as MVP.
I didn't think they were going to win a division. I said they would be in the mix for the division because they. I think they had gotten way better, but everybody thought the Giants, the way they finished, was just going to. Go out and just be
yep.
And in Dallas was what, 13-3 the year. Mm-hmm. So you just like, man, it's going to be tough. But I thought they were.
That's because people don't pay attention to the Jason Garrett season long roller coaster. It's one season good, one season bad. Since Jason Garrett got there, look at how they do, which means 2018 should
be
things should look up for them. All right, here it is. I'm going to tell you now. This is courageous on my part. I'm going to tell you one team, and we'll break them down for you as we move along here. I am ready to now announce one team that is absolutely positively not going to the playoffs.
Ooh.
From the 2018 NFL season. And that team
that
is –
that we're in the playoffs?
No. This is anybody. I'm just telling you because everybody's optimistic right now, Willie.
Okay.
So now you'll hate to bring people down.
That's right.
Okay.
Listen,
it's all right. It's what you're good at. You carry
ultimately,
on.
Ultimately, that's – you know what? That's that's true love, that I can be honest with you.
Okay.
Although I don't love this team. I don't have really any real emotions for them. But drum roll, if you please, MVP. The New York Football Giants will not make the playoffs in 2018. Ooh. There you have it. I know a lot of people are excited. Oh, we fixed the defense up. Well, we addressed the offensive line. That was our big problem. Now we have Saquon Barkley. He's going to be a stud. Here's why they're going to miss the playoffs, fellas. You ready for this? Yep. Here's how it starts. At home against the Jaguars with Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin, you think they're going to be hungry? After their loss up in Foxborough, Coughlin homecoming, he's going to want to stick it to the Giants. He knows how to take care of Eli with that great defense. That great defense is the best in pro football, maybe even better than the Seattle Seahawks a few years ago. Perhaps the greatest defense we've seen in the 21st century. Mm. Home loss, crowd boos as they leave the field. Eli's finished. That's week one.
You're awfully confident in Blake Bortles not throwing four interceptions.
Then the Giants' defense isn't that good. At the Cowboys, at the Texans, that's 1-1 probably, two trips to Texas. Home to the Saints, at the Panthers, and then home with the defending champion Eagles. Then at the Falcons. What are they, 2-4 at that point? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're 2-5 at that point, right? This is not a playoff team. They're in a division with the Eagles. The Eagles are not suddenly going to fall off a cliff. They may not have as much good fortune, but they're not going to turn into complete garbage. I think the Skins have a weird chance of being kind of decent, or at least better than they were a year ago. And as I already mentioned to you, the Cowboys, this is a year where they rise back up a little bit at least. Willie McGinnis, how say you?
Wow. It's tough to predict these things before you take into account all the injuries and all the things that happen in camp and after preseason. But it is a tough schedule. I think the first six games, like you mentioned, seven games, are tough.
Half the season.
They could possibly be 3-3 in the first six games.
But here's what's also going to happen, Willie. The boo birds are going to come out. That's the extra layer.
Yeah, but you know what?
They're going to be boo Eli. We need a different QB.
But it's not going to be about Eli because now you do have Saquon. So it's going to change things. So now when you go up against that offense, if you don't account for this man, he could be a problem. If he's everything that he's advertised to be, he could change things for Eli. He could open up things for Eli. And offensively, they have weapons. They have a young tight end, Ingram, and –
they should be good with Sterling Shepard and Odell. Right.
Odell will be playing, if he doesn't have a contract. I think he'll have a contract by week one, right? If not, he's going to be a man on a mission. And I think Eli, what happened to him last year, what he went through, and Gettleman and this staff taking a chance on him and saying, because they didn't go get a quarterback, right?
Maybe they'll go to Baltimore and say, can we have
a backup? No, I'm just saying, like, they showed some confidence in him. So there's going to be a lot of guys with a chip on their shoulder that are motivated. You know, the defense didn't perform at a high level last year. They went down from a year before. So it's going to be tough. It's hard to look at a piece of paper and just mark off wins. But
I agree with that. I hear you on that.
I will say that I think they will have a shot to be in the playoffs. I think I'm going to go against the grain on that one.
Right, well, so, I mean, that ultimately what that exhibits is that Dave has more courage. You know?
Well, no, I mean, Dave, like, what you did is you read
Dave
the first –
Dave says this is 100%.
You read the first 6 weeks. You didn't look at the next 8 weeks.
Four quarters in the season.
If they're 3-3 through 6 weeks, they got the Redskins, the Niners, the Bucks,
the Eagles again, the Bears, the Redskins again, the Titans, the Colts, the Cowboys. You're right. It's a tough start. And again, you never know what happened. But that is not a tough November,
but once
December.
You get the two, but true or false?
The last eight games are not tough.
Once you get to 2-5, though, and especially in a town like New York where everybody Eli's finished, Eli's – where are the wins out of those first seven games that you see? I mean, I feel pretty confident that a road team like the Jags will give Eli all sorts of issues. I mean, that's they're going to be able to, unless Barkley, I guess, you know, maybe he makes this huge splash in week one. And
what a run game will do for them is it will keep some of these offenses off the field. We saw that with Dallas when they got their running back, right? Their defense had less plays. They didn't get better. Statistically, the numbers didn't shoot up. They didn't get more turnovers. They just had less plays, which helped. The time of possession helped. And you could control the game a little bit more. So definitely against these high-powered offenses like the Saints, like the Falcons, that can run off 30 points in a heartbeat, you want to control the ball. You want to play them different. You don't want to get into a shootout with those guys. And I don't think the Giants have to do that anymore with the personnel that they have. And I think their head coach understands that, that now you could play a different style. This game doesn't have to solely rest on Eli's shoulders anymore.
Mm. So I
think you take advantage of that.
By the way, at the Falcons, when I see that, talk about chip on your shoulder and all that, the Falcons are an interesting team to me in 2018 because they're perceived to have had a down 2017 after the 28-3 and everything. They won double-digit games and went to the playoffs had the Eagles beaten. If Julio catches that ball at the end, the January and February look quite different, obviously. That was a down year. Dan Quinn, he's got the pieces now. He's got that front seven, I think, looking the way
defense
he probably
played actually better than the offense last year.
Yeah, I think that team – beware. I like the Panthers a lot. I like the Saints a lot. I even like the Buccaneers' potential bit following the model of the Eagles. Their defensive front is now absolutely loaded and ready to take off. And that division is so rugged. But beware them Falcons.
See, what we don't take into account is the injury bug. That Bucs defense, not last year but the year prior, they finished the second half of the season the best defense in the league. The best defense. They still fell short one game. So when you last year when they lost Quan Alexander, Levante David, like when you have injuries, it's hard to, regardless of what it looks like in the beginning, it's like it's a tough season. So, you know, that's an interesting team. I picked them as one of the breakout teams coming into last year. And with all the injuries and the up and down with their quarterback, he's been inconsistent. You know, it's tough.
Handsome. Do you agree with me or with Willie about the Giants? Not that Willie put the Giants in, but he's not ready to close.
I'm not taking them out. I'm not willing to take them out of the playoff race at this point. I think there's like a dozen other teams I would say before I got to the Giants are not.
If you want to throw one out right now, we'd love to hear it in the spirit of our little.
Well, I mean, I could do an easy one. But I mean, like, I'm going to tell you.
Do an easy one. I'd love to hear your easy one.
Browns aren't going to make the playoffs.
You know, there's a lot of buzz about them making a run, but I'm with you.
I think they're going to be a lot better.
With the best receiving core in the league?
This best receiving core, Jazz. And how about Todd Haley?
Maybe
they look
good on Instagram.
This is the best quarterback room I've ever been in.
Shots at your boy.
Is he talking about?
Shots at your boy.
That's exactly what that's about.
He could, though, conceivably be talking about the feng shui of the room.
We know.
Like, it's the best QB room.
Yeah.
We know who we're talking
about. What ridiculousness. See, that's well, you know what that says to me,
Billy? Why is it ridiculous when we're talking about your guy?
What's ridiculous about – I know what it's about. It's ridiculous because what it indicates to me is that the Pittsburgh Steelers have taken up residency in the Cleveland Browns' head once again. That's – I mean, that he feels like he has to say that in a public forum is ridiculous.
I just said he was taking a shot.
I get it, right. Right. So he seems petty, and that seems unnecessary.
I'm waiting on Ben to say, hey, you know, this is the best offense I've been in the last 6 years.
You know. All right, listen. But to my point, though, Willie, and I don't want to belabor it, but who did his team more damage? Roethlisberger by belly aching, and now they have Mason Rudolph, Brady,
hold on,
who scared Garoppolo out of town. Now he lives on the other.
Out? You know what, Brady
lives
did,
on the other coast now.
You know
now Brian Hoyer
scared him to $130 million contract.
I know, are fine, but Brian Hoyer is now the backup
and
QB.
And then you know what Brady did? He decided to sit out OTA so Hoyer could take all the snaps.
Oh, come on.
See, he's getting him. He's helping
Hoyer
him,
was
helping
there
him
before.
Get experience in the
Hoyer
offense.
Was there before. It's not his first rodeo in New England. He was there before.
All right, so instead of Wentz going down at the end of the regular season, Brady goes down at the end of the 2017.
Let's not.
Do the Patriots do that and get to the Super Bowl? No, of course they don't. Brian Hoyer's not the answer.
Not Hoyer, no.
Right. The Steelers have Mason Rudolph. But Roethlisberger chirps a little bit, and that's it.
I hate to say that because when Brady missed those four games, everybody, oh, it's over, it's doomed. You probably said they're going to be 1-3. I think you gave them a low grade. They started off.
I don't remember what I said, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think you said, oh, I'm going to win one game.
You don't tell what I – you're just saying
that. The next thing you know – no, I know you.
That's the kind of thing you would say.
Next thing you know
– look it up, MVP, please. I don't think I did say that.
You never know. And everybody's ready to trade Brady. Oh, get rid of Brady. They don't need him.
What about, Willie, who would you rather have? Last question for you. For the next two seasons. Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo? And either way, the backup is Brian Hoyer.
I'm gonna say Tom Brady.
Really? Even though he essentially announced, here's what I heard when he said retirement.
Listen to this carefully.
When he said retirement
it's imminent.
Is closer than it is far
it
away.
Is.
He said.
It is.
It is. That was the. That's.
It
I don't
is.
Know why they pulled that quote out.
Every
like,
year,
hey,
you play
I'm
past
I'm,
40.
Right,
yes, it is.
I'm 19 years into my NFL career. Retirement is closer than the start of the career. Yeah, yeah, it is.
Two things about that. One, I like how you're both being obtuse.
Honest.
About, like, what do you
we're
mean?
Being honest.
Honest.
About
no,
it.
You're no. And two, what else has become painfully clear, and Emma, support me on this, Handsome is desperate for Willie to like him, right? Just agrees with him on everything, right?
Yeah.
What, that is?
You're onto something.
I love coming.
Will you like me, Willie?
I love when he comes here.
I haven't said that exactly, but.
I love when he's here because there's another guy with the level head that thinks outside of Pittsburgh.
Right. That's not a fair charge.
You said a guy. Okay, the Jimmy question, right?
Right.
We have a six-game sample size.
No. Okay.
We're just facts.
Right.
I just want to lay the facts down.
Okay.
We've got a guy that in his last 2 years was in a Super Bowl MVP, that won a Super Bowl, was the runner-up to the MVP.
Threw for 500 yards.
That was the
losing
Super Bowl. That was the league's MVP last year, right? Was in a Super Bowl. The year before – won a Super Bowl, should have been the league MVP, but was the Super Bowl MVP, and you're telling me to go with a guy who looks like he's going to be the guy at some point off of six games. You're
now
telling me
who's
throw,
got a chip on his shoulder? Willie,
no,
Willie,
no.
You, because
saying,
I didn't even
you're
say,
me to,
I didn't even
you're
say.
You're telling
okay?
me to throw all that away.
I didn't tell you to do that. I asked you. That's
I know why
you have the chip on
why
the shoulder.
I know why you asked me.
No, what I was getting at is that, no, the reason I asked you is because I thought maybe you would say, like, well, we don't even know if Brady's going to play after this season. That was why I said the two-year thing. I thought you might.
I'm going to leave you with this. If he wins his six. Say it with me. Six.
That,
Super
that would be
Bowl.
That. Then that would mean
Super
the Patriots
Bowl.
Have as many Lombardis as the Steelers, which they don't currently.
Well, Brady has more than anybody in the last 30 years of Pittsburgh to get. Okay, so we can't go before these guys were born. We got to go with the guys that are playing now.
Mm-hmm. Only because of the generosity of
Yeah, because I heard Ben say something earlier. His comment was, oh, we're trying to break a record with the most Lombardis ever. Ben, you wasn't born. When those guys were Bradshaw and those guys were Mean Joe and those guys were when he wasn't around. You can't let's not put that in your saddle. Those are not yours. That's the franchises, those organizations. But
I can put them in my saddle.
Going
right?
forward, yes you can.
Thank you.
I think there will be a walk off if he wins this year a Super Bowl. I think it won't be 45 years old. I think he'll walk off and say, the game's been amazing to me and now I'm gonna figure something else out.
Now I'm gonna
do you
go
think look. He would have done if they'd won this year?
I think there was a chance. I think there was a chance.
That's the way to go out, right?
Didn't pay.
No, you cut.
Payton didn't even play.
I was standing in the tunnel, and he was the first. Belichick ran in. He ran in mm-hmm. after the Super Bowl, and that was almost my first thought: is he's definitely not retiring now.
Right.
He looked so disappointed and
so
angry,
upset.
Like this was not how things were supposed
like
to go.
Like he went straight from there to work out.
Yeah.
It was. That was really. A cool moment where I felt like I should not be, they should not be letting Dave Damashek where I at the Super Bowl as the Patriots are filing back out onto the field right after, I don't even remember who the Justin Timberlake had come off to say, they're walking by me. At, you know, I could grab Belichick if I wanted to, and Brady,
lucky
and
didn't.
Like, hey, go. I'm about to wish him luck. Oh, Bill, wait. Good luck, fella.
Good luck, man.
Go get him in the second half. I could have done any of those things, but I didn't. But, I mean, the looks on their faces, it was crazy to have that moment, and there was not a peep as 60 or 70 human beings filed past me one by one, and Tom looked the look on him, I thought, oh, he's gonna rally them now. They're going to come back, and they're going to smoke the Eagles in the second half when you saw that. I misread Tom's face that day. This time, though, I didn't misread Willie McGinnis. I'm on to your games. Chip on the shoulder. You want me to take Jen? I don't care what you tell. I asked you a question. You be your own man, Willie. You know? You know what? In spite of the topsy-turvy emotions here on this day, I'm still willing, if you want me to blow in a call to Lynn Swan at USC and put in a good word for you. Would you like that?
You can call Lynn and see how he's doing. I'm quite fine here, but if you're trying to kick me out, I thought we were gonna make some more appearances on the show. And
you're a worthy
out.
Adversary for me, Willie.
Okay. I just want to hang out. I just want my name on the wall.
Well, if I'm a VP, when I'm back to where we started,
I just want my name on the wall.
You got it.
Hey, you know what, Emma?
Yes.
If I get my name on the wall, I might just walk off into the sunset.
That will be the moment. Then
gonna
Dave will be
whole,
happy. You'll leave him happy.
Yeah.
Gonna have a whole Cleveland
I'll leave
Browns
my legacy.
Win.
I'll leave my legacy just going around the Dave Demeshek podcast.
Sean O'Hara and Willie McGinnis on the same day. The Cleveland Browns wing opens up on the Wall of Fame. It's gonna be a grand occurrence. And I feel like this show was grand as well. Handsome.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah, it was actually better than The Incredibles too.
Really?
Yep.
Do you think that your Dolphins, the Jets, or the Bills pose any threat whatsoever to the 2018 Patriots' reign? That's the greatest thing that Tom Brady ever got, right? Was getting put in that division.
Getting put or drafted?
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, that definitely helped.
You know that the football gods.
Can I just tell you, when he came in that division, the quarterbacks that were in that division?
Jim Kelly. Vinny Testaverde.
Okay. Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning with the Colts.
Marino.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
I think it was Boomer at the time.
It was that long ago. And Boomer with the Jets, huh?
No, Brady actually came in when those guys, some of those guys were.
Yeah, Marino.
That's when I came.
That was when you came. I tried.
Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry. And then that's really got to be. Because you mentioned it a half hour ago.
Okay.
Win, play, show. In your career, the toughest quarterbacks you ever had to sack. By the way, you're on
Start
total.
With me or with
you're on total access. You're on total access with Michael Robinson.
Right.
Get this, Willie. We've talked to not one, but two high-end pro football players. A.J. Hawk was drafted very high, won a ring with the Packers, and of course, toiled for Ohio State in advance of his time with the Packers. Cliff Avril played at Purdue before he won his ring with Seattle. I asked that question to them. They said, I got to go back to college. Michael Robinson of Penn State's the toughest guy I ever had to sack.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? I mean, good for him, he was, but I mean, I was like, all like Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, whatever. No.
They played against, they went back to college?
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Toughest QB, go ahead. Now, with that information, you can tell Mike Robb that if you want.
Toughest QB?
It's seven, isn't it?
Is that running?
I just.
Trying to track down?
Well, however you measure that.
You know, it was Vic. Trying to
that's seven.
Ben, Vic, Montana, Aikman, Marino, Kelly, Moon.
Now you're just
Young.
Dropping. Warren Moon wasn't hard to sack.
Young. I mean, you.
All right.
I can keep going, man. Like Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning was not hard to sack.
He wasn't going to sack him because he was getting rid of the ball.
He got rid of the ball.
Like, it's this. There's like, I can give you, like, how many
Joey
Hall of Famers?
Joey sacked him in the divisional round of Odd 5.
Yeah, well, I got him a bunch, but, I mean, he got away a lot just based on knowing that.
I know. That's a lot of good names you just listed.
I can keep going. It's
the win. Okay, Mike Vick is the hardest guy you ever had to try.
Mike Vick, yeah, because you got to be under control.
Or else you'll embarrass
your guys. O'Donnell wasn't hard, but Slash was.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's pretty good.
I'm saying, I'm taking you back. You see how that smile?
You're going.
until they got to the Super Bowl and had to play against those Cowboys, and that was.
No, that was Neil O'Donnell.
That's what I said, O'Donnell and Slash.
They should have won that one.
They were a combination.
That's right.
Like Lamar Jackson and Flacco, maybe. You never know. You may get the same stuff.
One of my greatest disappointments in my athletic career was watching the Patriots in Heinz Field in January of 2002. That one haunts me to this day. Cordell, terrible.
How do we always get back to the Patriots?
Because that's, I think you know why. Oh, that's what, by the way, that's when you had the dreads hanging
braids.
Out. The braids.
Never
hanging
dreads.
Out of the,
braids.
The back of the hat there.
You guys remember?
That was the worst game.
You remember beating us when Pete Carroll was there at Pittsburgh?
We've talked about that. The opening drive.
Cordell
goes around the right side, goes up
the
sideline.
We got a penalty earlier because we hit somebody out of bounds, and he was tiptoeing. Thought he was going to go out, and he tiptoed all the way to the end zone.
What final score was 7-6?
Something like that, yeah.
The first drive.
We couldn't score.
Yeah, the Steelers were a dominant team.
Yeah, we 2 field goals.
Yeah, and that's when you had that ugly, weird blue jersey.
But didn't Zolak start it too, right?
Is that true?
I think Zolak had to come in for Bledsoe or something. Something happened. It was a bad day.
Yeah, so
that
what? January
like
about
7-6.
7-6 is not a good game.
A week after the football gods decide to make the tuck rule work in your favor, then you come in, and Troy and Josh Miller, remember it's 0-0, and the Steelers are backed up against their own goal line, and Josh Miller boots one, glorious, up the left sideline, and it bounces the Steelers' way and goes all the way down to the Patriots' 10-yard line. And so now the field is flipped in a tight game early on, and Troy Edwards, the Steelers' first-round bust playing on special teams, comes from out of bounds and goes back out onto the field to make the tackle on Troy Brown, getting a flag, so he punts it again, Josh Miller does, backed up even further, right in midfield. Troy Brown returns at 7-0 Patriots, but the
Troy had a good game.
I don't care.
He balled out. I think he blocked a punt or something too.
It was disgusting. Yeah. Every fluke in the world went your way that day. But also the referees misspotted the ball because when he first punted it, he was on the left hash, but then they misspotted it right dead center in the field, so Josh Miller couldn't reach the sideline. That's why Troy Brown fielded the ball. That's why you won that day, sir.
Couldn't directional punt, huh?
All right. So Vic, then Slash, the second toughest you ever had to say.
Young was tough.
Steve Young, that's a good
I'm trying to think of like guys that were mobile, that were shifty too, that can throw the ball. Oh, Elway.
Oh, I was going to say, Elway. But was he by the end?
I forgot Elway.
End?
I didn't even mention him.
Yep.
Is he ahead of Vic?
As far as athleticism, nobody's ahead of Vic that I played against.
Vic 1, Elway 2. Steve Young 3. That's a pretty prodigious career.
Just because he was a mover in the pocket. Like, those guys could move. You know who else was kind of tough? Brunell was kind of tough to get.
You know what's clear is you don't like the lefties. I think Handsome could elude you, in other words. Yeah. He might be able to take care of business. Oh, I could go for another hour with these kind of questions. Thanks for the time, Willie McGinnis and Handsome Hank Hodgson. Terrific stuff. By the way, we're doing a little competition, Willie. We're going to see. He was a great cricket player in the UK, was Handsome.
I thought we were going to do the pies again.
Well, we're doing that.
We can do the pies, too.
And David Carr has a whip on him.
Ooh.
And Cole Wright was a baseball pitcher, as you know. We're going to see who has
everybody.
The best arm.
Oh.
We're going to see.
He does tell everybody.
Each of the three
right.
is going to play the other guy's thing. See if David Carr can really throw that baseball in the cricket, whatever you call it, the cricket
ball.
Object. It's a ball.
It's a ball.
All right. A ball.
I'm going with Hanson.
There you go.
Well, look.
I'm going Handsome.
Look
at
what
I'm
a great. This was
Sealed.
A successful DDFP because it brought Handsome and Willie McGinnis closer together. So on that count, at least, we were successful. We'll be back with another episode for you later on in the week. 455 and Handsome and MVP and everybody else here on the DDFP. We'll talk to you later. Go listen to the Rams show from camp last week. And it's been a thin slice of heaven.